Yesterday, I couldn't sleep. I woke to find a flurry of digital declarations and delectable dissertations coming from the stoa I somehow held in my hand. Click by click and touch by touch, I could see the line forming along the breezeway in my mind and on the screen, now full of fingerprints and smudges. I thought to warn them, but how do you get the attention of some 100 million souls who show up every month for office hours that never happen? Perhaps that's the price an apprentice pays when they sign up for an introduction to fiction and poetry and find themselves wandering the alcoves of the tortured poets department. As the world unwrapped the tightly folded corners of a leather-bound, lace-stitched anthology, I couldn't resist but leap to the end of the line, where the apprentices all fidgeted for a hope of movement, each one silently wondering, how will I know when the conjunction happens? I found myself saying aloud, "Trentuno," as if in disbelief and very much in delight, and somehow in Italian. What's not to like about 31? And then, as if from the cavernous halls of an abandoned basilica built on shame, or the crypt of original sin in the heel of Italy, an anthology echoed back to me. Note by note, line by line, I listened and remembered. It makes no sense to wait in an endless line in a crowded stoa, because all you get is a colliding echo of conversations dancing among your unspoken longings. Take a walk instead and paint your own frescoes in a long-forgotten cave in the medieval town in your heart. Yes, you're the understudy to the tortured poet. You just didn't know it. I had nearly forgotten about the event of the season arriving in the overnight hours to our digital devices. And this morning, as I prepare for my first public poetry reading, I have to smile, because the universe always has a way of showing us a way. Even if it is a dark cavern where mycelium mysteriously grows as if to remind us of sustained change and mastery, even amidst darkness, dampness, and cold. I've been thinking about this solo podcast episode for a while now, knowing I've wanted to tell the story of a tortured poet and the path of putting ink to paper, paper to print, and print to publish, and now publish to public reading. While I didn't plan it this way, I am happy the word poets is being spoken into existence and resonance from arenas to amphitheaters today. I can't imagine a better walk-on song for a new poet to have as he prepares his first public poetry reading. And I know I'm not alone when I go up to read today. Even as I sit here, surrounded by the works and words of my fellow tortured poets, our department doors may be closed with a sign saying, "Come back for office hours," but we are far from being a phantom. It is just that our best work sometimes is done in the dark, where our eyes can be damp and no onlookers can see the thawing of the cold from which we were formed. Like the word torture, stemming from its Latin origins, tortura, meaning to twist and writhe, it's analogous to a suffering, a bearing of something. In this case, the bearing of one's soul and unspoken longings and occasional languishing. And we can only rediscover our humanity somewhere between the land of unspoken longings and unexpected languishing. Perhaps that is our original sin. And somewhere in there forms another stanza to sustain us against all that is inhumane. Albums are anthologies. Anthologies are collections. And collections are curated to evoke an experience and anchor us in a sensation that then forms a memory. And the path to becoming a published poet is nothing if not guided by sensations and memories. Today we'll mark another memory, a first, a phantom finding a pathway along a slow-moving river. Trust it will lead you to the shoreline. A compass points eternally to the ocean where you feel safest and can dive under the waves. I will walk today from where I live to the local library, where I will do this first reading. There's a mysticism in the movement, be it in your steps or in your stanzas. And even yesterday, as I listened to the soundtrack of a fellow tortured poet, I couldn't isolate which work to read. And I reached out to the Stoa and asked the question in an innocuous way. Again, it's a busy Stoa full of fidgeting apprentices waiting for the conjunction. So I didn't expect to get too many responses. What I found fascinating, though, was a few folks who did respond, understandably jumped to the end, wanting so much to help, almost forgetting the power of a deep listen. To those friends, you know I adore you. And fascinatingly, you each suggested, independently, the wonderful words of Pablo Neruda, an incredible poet who reminds us that everything carries me to you, as if everything that exists, aromas, light, metals, were little boats that sail toward those isles of yours that wait for me. Well, now, isn't it interesting that the poem that feels best to read today is titled The Ones We Carry in Love? This poem helps me remember, on that day, at that hour, my roots set off to seek another land, and I began my apprenticeship with grief and loss. Our arrival is destined, and our departure is destined. And along the way, nothing is extinguished nor forgotten. And when I finish my reading today, in a sudden strangeness encountered with souls who land on your nose like butterflies, I will stop for a second and maybe count to 12 to take in the exotic moment of a tortured poet and look down at the hurt hands holding the book that contain the penned words from so long ago. The words that find rebirth in the second reading of a faithful friend. And I will go, for once, and do nothing right after, and instead stand in the endless cavern of understanding oneself in the silence. I hope to record the moment of the reading today, to share with those who wish to be there, and to mark a moment where I will never be again. And so for now, I shall read to you, the listeners, so that you may hear the same echo from that cavern in the abandoned medieval town in your heart. Trust me, it's the very same echo I hear too. The Ones We Carry in Love, page 12 of Everword, a poetry collection. Every expression of love means embracing the edge of something that wasn't there before and won't be there in the after. In the sorrows there, where we find the commons, but we do not allow ourselves to arrive with our bundle of gifts, offerings, because we are tired from our journey, of tending all that is tender and heavy. The terrain is unfamiliar and familial, all at once. So which way do I turn? Which passageway do I take? Which light do I shine? My compass spins, north, east, south, west, taking me in circles. I guess the only place left to go is down, inside, deep, beyond.